Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Moed Katan Daf Vav. We are holding on Daf Hey Amud Beis. We are at V'sada Shenechresh Ba'kever, about 10 lines from the end of the page. On Daf Hey Amud Beis, today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. Also sponsored by Daniel Glickman, in honor of and for Shalema, for their new daughter, Malka Bracha, who is in need of surgery. Sheshav Rafur Shalema, B'soch Shar Chali Yisrael. Also by David Ham, in honor of his wife's birthday, which was yesterday. Very happy birthday. Also dedicated in memory of the first yard site of Glenn Norton Yoshua Ben Simcha Neshama Shev Nalia. We thank all sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So first thing, we're going to continue our discussion from yesterday about Siyun Kvarim, about the marking of graves and where they would mark the grave exactly, and how you can tell what the location of the Tumah was based on the marking of the grave. The Gemara is going to talk in that context about a Talmud Chacham's responsibility to be aware of these matters in his hometown. We're going to discuss how you can tell where the Tumah is based on whether the field is marked on one side, two sides, three sides, four sides. Then the Gemara is going to spend the majority of the daf going into the issue of Yotzin al HaKlayim, the concept that they would go out to take care of the issues of Klayim. The Gemara is going to discuss what the exact timing is of Beis Din sending out Shluchim to uproot Klayim from all the fields. And there were three historical stages in uprooting of the Klayim in terms of what they would do with it. When they would uproot the Klayim, would they just uproot the Klayim and leave it there and let the guy whose field it was, let his animals eat it? Would they throw it out in the street? Would they make the entire field hefker? So at different stages in history, they did different things. Then Amud Beis, the first Mishnah on Amud Beis, is going to discuss cases where watering a field is mutar on Chol HaMoed. And then the second Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about different malachos that you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed and during Shemitah, particularly when it comes to trapping animals and rebuilding fences on Chol HaMoed and during the Shemitah year. So let's begin. We are at, I think, V'sada Shenechresh Ba'kever Lo Bo Yitziyun, which is about 10 lines from the end of the page, I guess. Last one line is Ba. So the Gemara was asking that, wait a second, we just said yesterday that Rav Papa holds that if you have a field that Nechresh Ba'kever, that a kever was plowed in, so you don't have to be Mitzayin the field, you don't have to mark off the field, because there's no Tumas Ohel. If a kever was lost in the field, so then there's an intact kever somewhere in the field, there's a concern of Tumas Ohel. But if it's a Sadash and Nechresh Ba'kever, where a kever was plowed in that field, and we assume there are bone fragments scattered throughout the field, tiny bone fragments are not going to be metame ba'ol, and the only concern is tumas maga and tumas hesed. So therefore, if Papa said a sadish nechrash bakever does not require tziyun because we're only mitzayin on account of tumas ohel. So says Gemara, but is that true? The sadish nechrash bakever lo boy tziyun is a sadda that a kever was plowed over, not require marking. Va'tanya, but doesn't the Brisa tell us matzah sadda mitziyenes ve'in yadu amativa, that if you go and you find a field that is marked off, and you don't know what the story is, you don't know if they marked off the field because they plowed a kever in order that people should know that they need to be bodek that field before they go through, because we said when there's a plowed field you're supposed to blow on the surface of the field to uncover any of the bone fragments that might be on the surface. So there is a way to walk through it, but you need to do it al yidei bedika. So you don't know if that's the story, or maybe they marked off the field because it's a sada shenevad ba kever, because there's an intact kever somewhere in the field and people need to know that they can't pass through that field at all, even with blowing on the surface of the field, because there's a kever in there. So how do you know what the story is? Yeshba ilanos, if there are trees in that field, biyodua shenechrash bakever, that's going to be your indication that that field must have been a plowed field, because obviously they had to plow the field for the sake of the trees, and therefore such a field is not going to be metame ba'oel. You're allowed to pass through such a field al yedei bedika. But einba ilanos, if there are no trees in that field, then you can you must assume that they lost a kever in that field, and therefore you're not even allowed to pass through al yedei bedika. You have to assume that there's tumas oel there. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says you always assume it's metame ba'oel ad sheyesham zaken or talmud, unless there's a zaken or a talmud chacham around that knows that the field was plowed. Lufi she'ena kol bekiyin bedavar, because you can't just trust anybody's knowledge about this issue. Not everyone understands. Not everybody is familiar with why they'd be mitzayin in the field. So you, but bottom line is, you see in the Braisa that they're mitzai in the field even if it's nechresh b'kever. Against Rav Papa, Rav Papa said they wouldn't mark such a field at all. The Braisa apparently assumes they would mark such a field so that you would know if you need a bedika to pass through the field. Granted, you're allowed to pass through it, but only al yedei bedika. So apparently they would mark such a field. So Rav Papa, Rav Papa answers, really, asadash nechresh b'kever does not need any marking. Ki tanya hi, when the Braisa talks about marking such a field, besad the shavad b'kever, it's not talking about where it's nechresh b'kever, it's talking about a field where they lost the kever. Did Sainua, where they were mitzayin it right away after they lost the kever, and now they're mesupak if after they were mitzayin in the field, maybe it was also plowed, meaning they were mitzayin in the field because there was a kever there and they couldn't find it. Now, at some later date, they may have also plowed the field. So yesh ba'ilanos, if there are trees there, biyadua shenechresh b'kever, then you know that after they were mitzayin in the field, they then plowed the field. So you assume that after they forgot that they lost the kever, they plowed the field and someone went and planted trees there. And now you could pass through that field al yedei bedika. But ein ba'ilanos, but if there are no trees in that field, biyadua she'avad b'kever, then you know that all it was an avad b'kever, but they were never choresh that field, they never plowed that field, and therefore you're not allowed to pass through that field at all if you have any plans of dealing with taharos. So the Gemara asks on that which the Braisa said, that a field that has a tziyun, if there are ilanos, then you know that that field is a sad d'shenechrosh b'kever, v'leichosh tilmi ilanos migavai v'kever mibrai. But how do you know that there was a kever that was plowed up in that field? Shouldn't you have to be choshesh that maybe they planted the trees on the inner portion of the field, but the kever that was lost was on the outer portion of the field, and therefore the area where the kever was never needed plowing, and therefore it could be that it's also to walk through such a field because there's still tumas awel in the field. So that's the Gemara, Kedamar Ula, like Ula said in a different context in Maseches Nedarim, Be'om Din Ala Gvulin. To answer a different question in a different context, Ula made a Nukimta that we're talking about a field that has trees that are on the borders of the field, that border between the field and the Rosh Hasharabim. So Achanami, so to answer our Braisa as well, we could use a similar Ukimta, Ba'om Din Ala Gvulin, that we're talking about trees that are standing by the borders of the field, right bordering on the Rosh Hasharabim. So the area beyond the trees, outside of the trees, is Rosh Hasharabim. So you know there's no kever there. They don't bury people in Rosh Hasharabim. But so it must be that it's that the kever is around the area where the trees are, and then it was plowed in order to plant those trees, and that's why we assume it's Sad Shnechrosh b'kever. Says Gemara, but still, V'dilma tumim b'gavoy v'ilonos mibray. Maybe if the trees are only on the border of the field, the tumah's in the center of the field, somewhere in the middle, and was never touched, and they never were choresh in the middle of the field. The trees are all on the border of the field, they're all on the edges of the field, and that's where they plowed. So how can you be sure, just because there are trees, that this is a sada shenechrash b'kever? So says Gemara, b'misu b'chin. Now the case must be that there are trees mixed around throughout the entire field, that are all over the place in the field. So in such a case, it requires plowing of the entire field in order to plant such trees, and that's when you can rest assured that the field was plowed. But in a chinami, short of that, you would not have to assume that there was that it was nechra. You would not be allowed to assume that it was nechrash b'kever. You would have to assume it was nevad b'kever, and it would be usher to walk in the field entirely. The only reason you're allowed to assume that it was nechrash b'kever is because that was the only way those trees could have been planted. V'iba yasema, or maybe another answer is that we're not talking about dafka when the ilanos are mixed in throughout the entire field. Maybe the ilanos are purely around the borders of the field, and nevertheless you're allowed to assume it was plowed, because ha'amran in marchik and tziyun mimakom tuma sholo lahavsed eseretz Yisrael. Because we had a braisa in yesterday's daf that said that we're very careful about marking off tuma. We don't want to mark off tuma in a way that's unclear and that prohibits more of Eretz Yisrael than needs to be. So since a tziyun that's close to the trees was certainly that's certainly an indication of tuma in between the trees and the plowing that happened on the for the sake of the ilanos. Because if it was true that the tuma was in the middle of the field, they would have been mitzayin close to where the tuma was in the middle of the field. They would not have been mitzayin the borders of the field. If they're being mitzayin the borders of the field, they're saying this entire field is off limits. Why would the entire field be off limits? Must be that the ilanos, even though the ilanos are only on the border of the field, they plowed the kever, and therefore you're allowed to pass through that field al yedei nifuach. You're allowed to to walk through that field by blowing your way through and making sure to uncover any bone fragments that may be on the surface of the field. Okay, then we had mentioned in the Brisa that if you find it's a Sadim Mitzienis and you don't know what the story is, so Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, you're always assuming that it's Metame Ba'ol and that there's an intact kever in the field, Ad Sheishem Zakin or Talmud, unless there's a Zakin or a Talmud Chacham that knows exactly and can tell you why they were Mitzayin in the field, Lefi Sheina Kol Bekiyin B'davar, because not everybody knows why they're Mitzayin fields. You have to assume only a Talmud Chacham would be aware. So once we mention the Talmud Chacham and his ability to be able to tell you about Siyum Kvaros, the Gemara says, oh, you see that this is part of the what falls in the purview of the responsibility of local Talmidei Chachamim. Amar Abayi, Shema Minot, Sumer Abaran, Dika B'masa. You see from here that if there's a Talmud Chacham in a town, Kol Mili D'masa Alei Ramya, anything that relates to the town is his responsibility, and included in that is Tziun Kvaros. So since he's Baki in Halacha, so he must have been the one who was Mitzayin the field, meaning when they have to do something halachic, they call the local Talmud Chacham to take care of it. So if you're not sure, and this is you go to a town, you don't know what the story is with the Eruv, what the story is with the Mikvah, what the story is, so generally you call the community rabbis. They should be aware of basically what's going on, because presumably they were involved in the establishment of these, or the maintenance at least, of these institutions, and therefore that's part of the responsibility of a Talmud Chacham. That's who you go to when you have to find out about matters of the public. Other people know what they heard on the street, they know what was spoken about at a Shabbos table, but they were very you can't be certain that they were actively involved in the actual setting up of the communal institutions, and therefore they can't be assumed to know all about it, to know the details. Amar Rav Yehuda, Matza Evan Mitzienis. Rav Yehuda says, if you find a stone that is marked off with some plaster on it as a marker, as a grave marker, Tachteha Tamei, then you assume that whatever's under the stone is going to be Tamei. Most of the Rishonim understand that when they make a tziyun on an Evan, normally when you make a tziyun, we said you have to be marchik from the Makom HaTumah, because you don't want a person to be walking down the street and then he steps on Tziyun and they say, oh, I guess there's a kever under me. Then it's too late. He's already become Tameh. You want to be marchik the Tziyun a little bit so that he'll be made aware before it's too late. But most of the Rishonim explain when there's an Evan, so an Evan is already above ground, so the person is going to notice that. You just need to mark off that the Evan represents a kever, so that you're allowed to do the Tziyun could be directly over the mace, since the Evan will protrude anyway and will make it obvious that there's a kever there even before you step on it. That's how the Rov Rishonim says. Rabbeinu Gershom understands Tachta Atame means Samachla, means no, we're assuming that you're Mitzayin not directly over it, at some distance. That doesn't mean literally tachta, it means very close by. Okay, shtayim, if you have two stones that are close to each other, and each of them is mitzuyan, each of them has sid on it in order to mark it off, so underneath the stones is certainly tameh. What about in between the stones? Im yesh sid beinayim, if there's sid also in between the stones on the ground, then beinayim tameh. Then we assume that's marking the area in between as being tameh as well. Vimein sid beinayim, and if there's no sid in between the two stones, Beinei and Tahar. Then you assume the area in between them is going to be Tahar. The Avagav Deleka Choresh says, Gemara, wait a second. If there's no Sid in between them, the place in between them is Tahar, even if it was never plowed, Vatanya, but don't we have a brisa that sets different criteria to whether the area in between is tame or not? It doesn't make it totally dependent on whether there's sid or no sid. Apparently, whether it's plowed or not is also a factor. Matza evanachas mitzianus. This brisa tells us that if you find one stone that is marked off tachtel tame, then enochinami the area under it is tame. Shtayim, you find two stones that are marked off. Im yesh choresh beinehen, beinehen tor. If the area between them is plowed, then you assume that it was that in between them is tar, because they plowed that area, the place where a kever would have been, vim lav. And if they didn't plow in between them, then beinehen tame. Then you assume the area in between them is tame, even if there's no sid, but it was not plowed. You have to assume it's tame, because you assume that the person who made the tziyun was didn't bother to be mitzayin in the area in between them, because he was already mitzayin in the two stones that sandwiched this area. So you see in the Sefer of the Brisa that if they didn't plow the area in between these stones, it's going to be tame. And Rabbi Yehuda said that if there's no sid on the ground, then the area between them is tar. So it sounds like it's going to be tar whether it's plowed or not. So how do we reconcile Rabbi Yehuda with this Brisa? So I'm Rav Papa. Rav Papa says easily. Hacha, the Brisa says that if they didn't plow in between them, that it's tame. That's Shasid Shafach al Rasheyan. Umruda lekanu lekan. That's talking about where the sid was poured over the stones and a little bit spilled over on either side. So we're not sure, did they do that bikavana or did it just spill from on top of the stones to the area around it? So if the area between them was plowed, then b'nei'en tar, then we have to assume the area between them was tar. De'emar machmas choresh hu de'iklef. Why is it that some of the sid ended up in between the stones? Because when they were plowing, they aggravated the area and they probably got some of the sid to land in between the stones. So that's why it's going to be tar. But v'lo, but if there were, that area was not plowed, sid de beni beni hu, then why is there sid in between the stones? It must be it was put there by kavana. And that's why the tame, and that's why it's going to be tame. And Rabbi Yehuda said that if there's no sid in between them, then the area between them is tar. It's talking about where there's no sid at all in between them, not even a little bit spillover of sid in between them. So the Brisa and Rabbi Yehuda are talking about different cases. The Brisa is talking about a case when it says ain sid beinayim, not where there's no sid at all in between them, but where there's some spillover sid, but just not, it doesn't look like it was placed there too much bikavana. Whereas when Rabbi Yehuda said ain sid beinayim, he meant mamish ain sid beinayim. There's nothing in between them. Amar Rabbi Yasi. If you have a field that one border of the field is marked off with seed, so then you could assume hu tameh v'kalasadu kula tahara, that only that border is tameh, the whole rest of the field is going to be tahar. Shnayim, if you have two borders of the field that are marked off with the seed, heim tameim v'kalasadu kula tahara, those two borders are tameh, the whole rest of the field is tahar. Shlosha, you have three borders marked off with seed, heim tameim v'kalasadu kula tahara, we still assume it's only marking off those exact borders of the field and not meant to indicate that what's in between them is tame as well. But arba'ah, but if all four borders of the field are marked off, then hein tahar, and then we assume the borders themselves are tahar, v'kala sadukula tameya, and the whole rest of the field is tame, and we're just marking off the area surrounding the tumah. The damar mar, ein marchik and tzion mimakam tumah shelo lafsid eser tzual, and this is all aligned with the principle that we have, that we try not to block off more than we need to from usage from Eretz Yisrael to use. So if there were not mitzayin all four areas of the field, we wouldn't know exactly where that fourth border is. Meaning, if three borders being mitzuyan was an indication that the whole field is tameh, well, where does the field end? So they would they couldn't do that. They would never mark off only three borders if there was tumah in between them. If they're marking off three borders, it must be the tumah's dafka on those three borders. When it's four borders, then it's obvious that they're marking the tumah that's in between them. Now we shift topics. We're done with tzion kvarim. The Mishnah also said that the shluchei bezin go out in chol hamoed to take care of the klayim that may be growing in people's fields. So the rest of the, at least till the Mishnah on the base, is going to talk about that. So says Gemara, the klayim b'chol shel moed nafkinan. Is that the timing? They would send out shluchei bezin on chol hamoed to take care of klayim. Uriminu, but I'll ask you a stira. That there's a Mishnah in the first parak of Maseches Shkalim that tells us be'echad ba'adar mashmi'in ala shkalim, that on Rosh Chodesh Adar they do a number of things. One of the things they do is they announce that everyone should prepare a machsa shekel, because they're going to need, starting Rosh Chodesh Nisan, to bring from the Chuma Chadasha, to bring from the new collections for the Kabbalah Tzibur. Ve'ala klayim, and on echad ba'adar they go out on the klayim, they go out to be oker klayim that are growing in anybody's fields. So u'b'chamisha asrbo, and then on the 15th day of Adar, they do a couple of things as well. Karnas and Megillah B'krachim, it's the day of Mikra Megillah in the walled cities from the days of Yeshua Ben Nun. V'yotz and the Kavitz and Sazrachim, they also go to remove any thorns and thistles from the roads. Ulasakin Erechavos, they also go to repave the roads that may have gotten ruined during the winter time. V'lomana Mikvos, they go to measure the Mikvos to make sure that there are 40 sa'ah in the Mikvos. V'osin Kol Tzarchei Rabim, and they do all the other Tzarchei Rabim as well on Tesvav Ba'adar. What does it mean, all the other Tzarchei? what are the other tzarchei rabbim? So the Yerushalmi in the first paragraph of Shkalim says to be dan dinei mamonos, to be dan dinei nefashos, to dinei makos, and to be poda arachim and charabim and hakdeshos, meaning if there's if there were these kinds of dedications made to the Beis Hamikdash, to be mashka asota, to burn a para aduma, to do the piercing of the Eved Ivri and the Taras HaMetzora, all of these things that they would that are done on a regular basis, they would dafka take care of these public matters on Tesvav Ba'adar. Umitzayin nesakavaros, and they would mark off the kavaros with a sid, the yotzei al haklayim, and they would also be yotzei al haklayim on Tesvav Ba'adar. So apparently they went to uproot klayim on Tesvav Ba'adar. And our Mishnah says that they were yotzei on Cholamoed, which is much, much later, obviously. Cholamoed is Cholamoed Pesach. So that's going to be much, much later. So which is it? Did they go take care of the klayim that may have grown during the wintertime on Tesvav Ba'adar, or did they go only on Cholamoed? So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Chad Amar Kan, Bebachir Kan Ba'afil. So the Machlokas, between Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, had to reconcile this. They both gave a teretz, but they each gave a different teretz. One of them said that the Mishnah in Shkalim that says they went on Tesvav Ba'adar, that's talking about that which grew very quickly. So in Adar, there was already klayim there. Whereas our Mishnah says that the Gon Cholamoed Pesach is Ba'afil. It's talking about that which grew much later. So when the Shluchim went out in Tesvav Ba'adar to be Oker the klayim, this hadn't yet grown. So they had to go back out for that which grew in the interim, in that month, in between Tesvav Ba'adar and Cholamoed Pesach. The Chalamar and the other one answered, Kan Bizraim, Kan Bi'irakos. The Mishnah in Shkalim that they went out in Tesvav Ba'adar, that's talking about Zraim. That's talking about like grain. Where in Adar it's nicker if there's klayim in the grain. Whereas our Mishnah says they've gone to Cholamoed, that's talking about Yerakos, where it's not the derech to plant them until summertime. And by Adar it's not yet the Zman where you would notice them. So they have to go out again on Cholamoed Pesach for different types of produce that grew at a later point in time. So the Gemara tells us sometimes they go out to deal with klayim before the time that our Mishnah mentioned. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, lo shanu el she'en itzanikar. The idea that you don't go out before Tesvav Ba'adar or before Cholamoed Pesach, that's only if you can't if you don't see the peiros growing. So there's no way to know if there's klayim. Aval nitzanikar yotzen alein. But if you're able to see the sprouting of klayim, then they would go out right away. They wouldn't wait till Tesvav Ba'adar or till Cholamoed Pesach, because when the Mishnah says they'd go out on during those times, it doesn't mean that before that there's not a violation. It's just that the derech is that in those times it's already nicker and there you're going to find something. But if it was nicker before, then you can't allow that to continue if there's klayim growing. So Beis Din would try to take care of it as soon as they possibly can. It's just that this is the typical time where Beis Din, where it would make sense for Beis Din to take care of it. So Maishan b'chol shalmoed in afkinan. But why is Cholamoed set aside as the time that they're masakin to dafka go out, and they didn't go out 2 or 3 days before? At the time that the pri is already nicker, that's what the Rishonim explained. That if you say that the Mishnah is just telling us that you're allowed to go out and deal with the klayim on Cholamoed, then I don't have a kasha. I understand why we're identifying Cholamoed. It's not a chiddush to tell me that on a regular Tuesday that you're allowed to go out to deal with klayim. The chiddush is you're allowed to go out on Cholamoed, but that's not what we're saying over here. We're saying that they were mesakein that dafkan Cholamoed shluchei bezin go out. So that the Gemara is asking, what of all days you're going to send Shluchei Beis Din out on Cholamoed? I mean, you're going to have people working on Cholamoed? Let them do it some other time. Let them do it a few days earlier, before Cholamoed. So says Gemara, unbelievable. Am Rabbi Yaakov, Am Rabbi Yochum, Mishum Schar Pu'ula Dimozle Gaban. Because the workers that you have going to uproot the klayim, to get rid of the klayim, have to get paid. And we're using public funds to pay them. And it will be a lot cheaper to hire them in Cholamoed, since they're anyway not doing malacha. So we need to save public funds, and therefore we can ask the workers to do this dafka on Cholamoed so that it won't cost the tzibur too much. Amrav Zvid Vitem Rav Masharshia Shma Mina. You see from here that the fact that we're misaking dafka to go out on klayim on Cholamoed is ki avina luschar, when they would give when the Beis Din would pay the workers to uproot the klayim mitrumas halishka yavina luhu, they would give them from communal funds, from the extra money that they took for the kabaron tzibur. Di salkadai tachmidit hu yavina luhu, because if you had a hava mina that it was the balei asados themselves, they're they're going out to try to find Klayim. They find Klayim in Reuven's field. Maybe they should charge Reuven for the services of uprooting the Klayim from his field. It's his problem. He's the one that has Klayim in the field. Well, then, my nafka l'an minayu. Well, then, why would we dafka send them out on Chalamoed? Kol kama debol l'itein l'hu. Any schar that they would, meaning if that were the case, we would make Reuven pay as much as we can make him pay. Meaning we let him pay through the nose for that. It's his fault. He allowed Klayim to grow in his field. So if he was the one that was responsible for paying it, if we were charging him for it, so then we wouldn't go out of our way to find workers who are willing to work cheap and dafka make it happen on Chol HaMoed, which is a zilzal of the Moed as it is. But it's only because we're using communal funds that we have to find cheap workers. That's why we send them out on Chol HaMoed. Tos Yomtov raises the question that when the Rambam in the fourth parak of Shkalim mentions the things that they took from the schar mitchumas halishcha, the things that were paid for from chumas halishcha, the Rambam doesn't mention the schar hayotzim al haklayim, the wages for the people who would go out and deal with the klayim. But our Gemara is explicit that that would in fact come from the chumas halishcha. So how come the Rambam doesn't mention it? So the Elia Rabin Simon Tavkof Memdal suggests that after the takana was made that they're not going to be oker, they're only going to be mafkir. They'd be just be mafkir the whole field. They didn't have to pay them for it because there was no tircha in the malacha anymore. Meaning this was at an early stage. We're going to see soon that there were three stages in terms of what the shluchei bezin would do. Would they do a lot of work and get into the weeds and start uprooting all the klayim and throw it in a particular place, or would they just see the field with klayim and say hefker? Okay, you're no longer the owner of this field. Once they got to that point where they would just say hefker, it's not too much work. They don't have to get paid for that to just declare it hefker. So that's where the Rambam's talking. The Rambam's talking about halacha lemaisa at the latest stage historically, whereas the Gemara at this point is talking about earlier stages historically where there was actual work involved. The Achronim just raised a question that even to just go declare something hefker, you're not going to find someone to work for free, even if the work is very easy work. They still have to go out and search and look and find where there's klayim. So they're still going to have to get paid something. So that should still have to come from the chumas halishcha. So the Rambam still should have mentioned it. So that's why a number of the other achronim suggest different answers for the Rambam. The Matzevus Moshe suggests that after they made a knas for the Balei Asados that they'd be mafker their fields, they made an additional knas that they would be the ones that have to pay the workers as well. And the Polim would be Yotze al Tzala Safek, that they'd get paid by the Bailim of those fields if they were to find Klayim. So meaning, the assumption is similar to the Elia Rabba's approach, but just a little different, that this is talking about a later point in history when the Takana was to be Mafkir. The only problem we had with the Elia Rabba is, but they need to get paid for that also. So that's what the Tzavis Moshe is. Yeah, but they also changed the model of where the money comes from. That instead of the money coming from Chumas Halishcha at that point, they decided, okay, if the basin is going to find Klayim in your field, there's going to be a knas on you. You're going to be the one that has to pay for these workers anyhow. So it's not in fact coming from Chumas Halishcha. So that's why it doesn't get mentioned by the Rambam as one of the things that would be paid for with communal funds. Fine. So now the Gemara explains how much, what the shear is that they have to be Oker Klayim. Vad Kama. What's the shear that's considered Klayim that they need to uproot in order to stop the klayim from continuing in that field? Some Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Kolsa Shoshaninu, like the Mishnah says, Maseches Klayim Kol Sa'a Sheyeshba, any Sa'a of Zera that has Rova, that has a quarter of a kav Zera Mimin Acher, of some other Zera mixed in, Yima'it, you should minimize that other min and uproot it until it's less than a Rova kav. And that's what the Shluchei Bezin would do when they would find klayim in the field. They would uproot the min that is the minority until it's less than a rova for each sa'a, a rova of that min for each sa'a of the larger min. So it says, well, that's all they would do. We have a brisa that says they wouldn't just like make a modification in the field and make sure there's an acceptable amount of the other min there, that it's not going to cause a client problem. We learned that they'd be mafkir the entire field. So lokasha kan kodem takana kan liacha takana. There were different stages in history. There was before the takana to be mafkir the field, and there was after the takana to be mafkir the field. And in fact, it wasn't two stages in history, it was three stages in history. Ditanya, the brisa tells us, barishona, initially, hayu okrin ha-mashlichon t'nei behemton. Initially, the shluchei bezin's job would be to go out, find the klayim, uproot the klayim that they found in the field and then throw it in front of the animals of the Balei Asada, so the people who own those fields, their animals, would end up eating this klayim. And the Balei Asada said, this is fantastic. We get people working for us for free. First of all, they're weeding out all the stuff we don't want in our fields, meaning this, when they were uproot the klayim, they would also be menashik the field from the weeds that were there. And they're feeding our animals with it. So, there's no reason for us not to plant klayim in our fields. Might as well plant klayim in our fields, because then we get free work if we plant klayim in our fields. Pays the zunos a great service. So he said, okay, this is not a good idea. This is a case of chote niskar. So iskinu shiyo okir mashlichin al adrachim. So they were masakin instead that the shluchim would be okir the klayim, but instead of throwing the klayim in front of the animals of the Balei Asadeh, they'd throw them out in the streets in order that that people would trample all over them, and the animals of the Balei Asadeh would not be able to eat them. But vadayin oismechin simcha gedola shemenashkin sadusein. But they said, shemenashkin sadusein, they were still happy because they still got their fields weak. And even though even though at that point they wouldn't plant klayim on purpose because whatever they plant is going to get destroyed and they're not going to get any benefit from it, but they also wouldn't go out of their way to be ochir whatever klayim grew because they knew that the shluchei bezin was still going to come and weed it out anyway. So then they made a takana that they're just going to be mafkir the entire field, that any field that has klayim is going to be totally hefker. So what does that mean? It's going to be totally hefker. So the Torah writes in Chosh Mishmas in Reish Ayin Gimel, it means they were mafkir the peros of the field, that all the peros that grew that season are going to be hefker. And that's what the Chaznish writes in Klayim Simen Alephos Tazayin as well, that they're mafkir the peros of the field. The reason I mention that is because Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Reish Memhei Osiyud is not sure that that's what it means. It says mafkirin kol hasada kula. Does that mean the peros of the field, or does it mean the field itself? So Minchas Chinuch says, I don't know if it means only the peros of the field. Maybe it means the field itself. In Derech Amunah, Rav Chaim Kanievsky points out that Minchas Chinuch is mesubuk about this, but it is mefurish in the Tur that they were only mafkir the zra'im and not the field itself. Minchas Chinuch writes further that the bala sada is allowed to be zochem in a hafkir, meaning that even though they were mafkir, the basin would be mafkir. It, the owner of the field could just reacquire it. He could take it right back. Meaning, if it's hefker, it's hefker. It means anybody is allowed to take it. Why then is that a knas if the Baal Sadeh could just take it right back? Because he has to act fast. And if he doesn't take it back, someone else might take it first. So it's still not good for him to have that risk of the field becoming hefker in the interim. Okay, new mission now. We had mentioned back on Daf Beisam and Aleph, that you're allowed to be mashka a field in Chalamoid if it's a sada beis hashlachin, a field that needs a lot of watering, because if you don't water that field, the whole thing is going to get ruined. The Gemara said that it's aser lahashko sada beis habal, a sada that does not require too much watering, because by being mashka, it's going to be mashbiach the field, but it's not going to be monea hefsid. So you're allowed to water in order that the field shouldn't get ruined. You're not allowed to water just to be mashbiach the field on Chalamoid. So the Gemara also said that according to Rav Meir, you're allowed to be mashke even a sada beis habal. So our Mishnah discusses when you're allowed to be mashke other situations that you're allowed to be mashke field on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Moshchin es Hamayim me Ilan le'Ilan. Day after Tu B'Shav we talk about Ilana. So a field that has trees and some of them have water around them, around the trees, on Chol HaMoed you're allowed to dig a passageway for the water to travel from one tree to the next, because the fields, trees rather, are like a sada beis hashlachin, that if you don't water them, it's going to be a hefsin meruba. It's going to be a major loss, and therefore you're allowed to be mashka them in Chol HaMoed to prevent such a hefsin. Ubelvad shliyashka es kol asada, but you cannot be mashka the entire field around those trees on account of those trees, because that's not just a minyas hefsin, that's a revach, that's a benefit to you. You're not allowed to do that in Chol HaMoed. Zroim shloshasu lefnei HaMoed, if you have plants that were not constantly watered before Moed, lo yashkin be Moed, you're not allowed to be mashka them on Moed, because since you wouldn't water them before Moed, apparently they're not going to get ruined if you don't water them on Moed. But Zrum, they need to be constantly watered, and were constantly watered before Chol HaMoed, so apparently they're likely to be nifsad if you don't water them on Chol HaMoed, so you need to water them on Chol HaMoed. V'cham matirin b'zeh u'b'zeh. The Chum disagree with both of these dinim. They allow being mashke if you have trees in the field, and one of the trees has a puddle of water around it. They allow being mashke the entire field on account of that tree, and not just building a passageway for the water from one tree to the next, but to the entire field. And they also allowed being mashkes rayim that were not shosa before the moed, because they allow even watering that's going to be mashbiach the field, not only that which is geared toward or aimed toward minyas hefsid. So now the Mishnah said that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you're not allowed to be mashke the entire field. You're only allowed to draw water from one tree to the next. So says the Gemara, wait a second. Even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov might agree in certain circumstances that you're allowed to be mashke the entire field. Amar Rav Yudim, ha'isa sadim mitunenes. If the field that was moist was moist like mud and then it dried up, so even though it's a sadim beisabal mutter, you're allowed to be mashke in the chalamoid, because since it was once moist, it's going to get ruined if you're not mashke in the chalamoid. Tanya Namiachi, we have a brisa that says just like this. Kisha Amru asal hashkosim b'moed, when we say that you're not allowed to be mashke the zroim and chalamoid, lo amru zroim shalosh shosim milifnei amoid. That's only zroim that were not watered prior to chalamoid. Avul zroim shoshosim milifnei amoid mutal hashkosim b'moed. Those zroim that were watered prior to chalamoid, you're allowed to be mashke them in chalamoid. Otherwise, they're going to be nifsad. Vim haisa sadim utunanes. And the brisa adds this line. And if it was a field that was muddy, that was moist, mutter, then you're allowed to be mashke it on chalamoid in order that it shouldn't get ruined. So you see what Rav Yudah said is correct, that you're allowed to be mashke sadim utunanes, even according to the more strict opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov was more strict and he didn't allow being mashke all the zrayim, he didn't allow being mashke an entire field. The Chum did allow it, but we're saying even Rav Elazar ben Yaakov would say that if it's sadim utunanes, if it's a muddy, wet field, that you're allowed to water it once it dries up. Ve'in mashkin sadagarit. Another din in the brisa that you're not allowed to water a field that was constantly dry on chalamoid, because it doesn't need to be watered. The Chum disagree. They say zrayim that were not shosa lefnei amoid and the sadagarid, it's mutter, because according to them, even if you're just being mashpiach the field, that's going to be mutter. Amar Ravina Shmamina, you see from the Chachamim the fact that they allow watering a sadagarid, that high tarbitza, if you have a garden that you grew vegetables in, or even though it's not going to be ruined if you don't water it, shari l'tabrutza b'chol d'moada, you're allowed to sprinkle water on in a chalamoid. Sadagarid my time, because what's the whole svara why you're allowed to water a sadagarid to aflamash l'charfa? Because watering it is going to cause the tavua that grows later to grow in a little bit earlier. Satan minyas hefsed, it's a hashbacha, it's an improvement of the field, and you see the Chum allow it. Sachanami, so by agina as well, afli mashvila charfa, that which would have grown in later is going to grow earlier, and that's a revach, that's a shevach, it's being mashpiach the field, and you're allowed to do that according to the Chumim. So the Gemara brings a brisa that discusses sprinkling water in the field in chalamoid and during shmita. So Tan Rabbanan, the brisa tells as follows: marbitz in sadalovin b'shvius. You're allowed to be marbitz. You're allowed to sprinkle water on a field of grain during shmita. But not on chalamoid. V'atanya marbitzin bein b'moid bein b'shvius. But we have another brisa that tells us that you're allowed to do this both on chalamoid and during shmita. So I'm Ravuna lo kasha. Ha Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Ha Rabbanan. Very simply, the brisa that says that you're not allowed to be marbitz b'moid, that's the more strict opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who says that you're not allowed to be mashka asada on chalamoid, because it says v'vashli ashkas kol asada. That's what our Mishnah said. Whereas the brisa that says that you're allowed even on chalamoid, that's Rabbanan. That's going like the sheet of the Chachamim in our Mishnah, who disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and allow you to be mashka an entire field entire sada baal b'moed. So tiny idach, the Gemara brings another brisa as far as being mashka a field a sada baal during shmita. Tiny idach marbitz in sada lavan erev shviyis. You're allowed to be marbitz in sada lavan. You're allowed to sprinkle water on a field of grain on erev shmita before the shnasa shmita starts. Kadesh Yetsu Yerakos b'Shviyas, so that the vegetables will grow during Shemitah. V'lo od elish marbitz in sad delavan b'Shviyas kadesh Yetsu Yerakos Mosay Shviyas. But even beyond that, you're even allowed to be marbitz in the sad. You're even allowed to sprinkle water on the sad delavan during the Shemitah itself, so that the produce will grow in the year following the Shemitah. What are you not allowed to do? You're not allowed to be mashka the field during Shemitah, so that the Yerakos will grow during the Shemitah. But if it's only for the in order to promote growth growth in the year following Shemitah, that's going to be mutter. And the reason is because the whole heter to be mashke l'tzoruch achilas ha'irakos, and the irakos that come out during Shemitah are svichi shvius, which are asur ba'achila anyway. But the irakos that grow during Shemitah that are picked on Motzai Shvius, they don't have an isra svichim, as long as you wait the proper shear that the Mishnah and the Secha Shvius says you're supposed to wait, and therefore you're allowed to be marbits the field. Now, in general, one is not allowed to water their fields during Shemitah. There's an interesting discussion in the poskim: are you allowed to have sprinklers on an automatic timer during Shemitah? You set the timer before Shemitah, so it's going to be watered, but you're not doing anything. So there's when it comes to Shabbos, the halacha is that that on Shabbos you're allowed to set up a system to irrigate from before Shabbos, because by Shabbos the isser is that the isser of doing malacha. So it's an isser on the gavra to do malacha. So that's why the Gemara on Shabbos says that potkin mayim legina erev Shabbos im chashecha umesmalos v'leches kol yom kulo, that you could set up an irrigation system on erev Shabbos even though it's going to be watering on Shabbos. But could be by Shemitah the post can point out it's different, because v'shavs ha'aretz Shabbos Hashem, that it's not only that you're not allowed to do a maisa of doing these things on Shemitah, but the land has to actually rest. It needs to be a metzius of a resting of the land, and probably therefore the poskim say, the chazanish and others, that you're not even allowed to set it up on a timer. Okay, but Hashem will pick up with the mission on the bottom of the page tomorrow. Have a good day, everyone.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Have a good day.